All right, time for a 49ers update. It is an abbreviated week. So Kyle Shanahan's conference call was about 3 hours earlier than it normally is. He said that for the coaching staff, it's already Tuesday, and in a few hours, it's going to have to be Wednesday because normally it's Wednesday ahead of a Sunday game. They need to get to the start of this week of preparation for the Los Angeles Rams as quickly as humanly possible, which is why I've alluded to Kyle Shanahan sleeping on his couch in the office this week. That typically happens for these short turnarounds. Good news for the 49ers is that there are no lingering issues for Brock Purdy in his neck or whatever else might have been wrong when he took that ugly hit yesterday, got his head pushed backwards, his neck was bent backwards. There was contact coming in from multiple angles. One defensive lineman had Brock Purdy's legs, and then another one was pushing his head back, Darrell Taylor of the Chicago Bears. Purdy said that he was just shocked. That's why he was down on the ground for longer than you would have expected yesterday. It does appear, though, that everything is A-OK with Brock Purdy. There had been some worry entering today because last time that Brock Purdy suffered an in-game injury was against Seattle a couple weeks ago. He felt fine on Sunday night, but he came into the building on Monday not feeling fine, and he ended up missing the next game against the Packers. So how Brock Purdy felt today was significant, and he feels good. No lingering issues, according to Kyle Shanahan. Isaac Garendo does indeed have a foot sprain. Not going to be able to do anything today if the 49ers had practice today. They didn't, but they have to put together a participation report on Monday with the Thursday game. Kyle Shanahan doesn't expect Isaac Garendo to be able to do much on Tuesday, but he does hope that he is available to play on Thursday. Now, it's not an advantage that the 49ers play earlier for Isaac Garendo, but it is a qualifier when we talk about the 49ers and their practice week and reporting on injuries. The 49ers do not run a normal practice on short weeks where they play on Thursday. The Tuesday practice is essentially a walkthrough. So the practice report is delivered and given as if it were a normal practice, if it were a full speed session, but how the player actually participates, you have to remember that they can't, there's no way they can go out there and run through a full practice anyway, since the 49ers are trying to preserve their roster and preserve their players. So in the case of Isaac Garendo, he's not going to miss any practice time, like legitimate bona fide full speed practice time, even if he's unable to do stuff on Tuesday. Because of that, he's not going to miss massive game plan installation that he would miss in a normal week if he wasn't unable to practice on Thursday, which is the biggest practice of the week. Long story short is that it's extremely difficult to gauge players' potential availability for a Thursday game based solely off what we see at practice. I'll be down at Santa Clara tomorrow. If Isaac Grendo's on the field stretching, I'll get some video of Isaac Garendo on the field stretching. But the 49ers' decision in all likelihood regarding whether or not he's going to play on Thursday against the Rams will still not be made. So all I can tell you is that he has a foot sprain and that we're going to wait to see what the next diagnosis or prognosis is, depending on how he handles this week. There's going to be a swap. Ben Bartsch is likely headed to injured reserve. It is indeed a high ankle sprain, but Aaron Banks has cleared concussion protocol, so they're going to thrust him back into the lineup. So Spencer Burford is back to the bench as the 49ers' top guard to come into the game in case somebody gets hurt. But Aaron Banks is going to be back at left guard, Bartsch to injured reserve. In a second, I'll show you the roster to see all of those implications. Dee Winters and Malik Mustafa are day-to-day this week, so that prognosis is better for both of those players. Ankle injury for Dee Winters and a chest and shoulder issue for Malik Mustafa, both of whom delivered good games last week. There's a non-zero chance that Nick Bosa and Trent Williams both return. How about that? Well, imagine if they both come back against the Rams. Dre Greenlaw is the final decision. The target date for Dre Greenlaw's return has been Thursday for quite a while. but they're going to make the final decision based on how the next couple days go. So Dre Greenlaw, I would say that's trending in a really good direction, as we've reported. Nick Bosa and Trent Williams are in the same boat. They're evaluated every day, and then the 49ers determine if they can go. The fact that Nick Bosa was doubtful to end last week instead of out was a step in the right direction for his potential availability against the Rams. I just saw LA put up 44 against Buffalo yesterday. I just saw Matthew Stafford breaking the Rams huddle down after the game, saying it's time to go beat the 49ers with some expletives or one expletive added in there. Rams are locked in, ready to go. I think the 49ers are too. The team with more good players on the field, and Bosa obviously qualifies as a good player, not just that, he's a great player. That's the team that's going to have a big advantage in this football game. Just because the 49ers were able to shut down Caleb Williams yesterday, this was the yardage in the first half, 320-4. It was a joke yesterday in the first half. Just because they were able to do that without Nick Bosa doesn't mean they're going to be able to port the same game plan against the Rams without Nick Bosa. So if he can in any way be available for the 49ers on Thursday, it would be a massive, massive boost. And one other injury issue, Demetrius Flanagan Foles with a knee problem right now. He is day to day. Article up on the San Francisco Standard, how Brock Purdy's big speech and elite play fueled a massive 49ers win. You can go ahead and check that out. You can sign up for a membership on the San Francisco Standard. Those are available now. Here at the bottom, it says join the San Francisco Standard. You can, I don't think the membership option is right there. You can put in your daily newsletter email address though. And if you do go to this link, which is in the description, you will be guided to the membership page. It is well worth it. 49ers season just now heating up. 49ers with a true blowout win yesterday over the Bears, setting things up for this game against the Rams. We are anticipating a frenetic finish to this 2024 NFL season. Almost said 2017 NFL season. I remember back in 2017, they had five games to go. The first of those five games was against the Chicago Bears. They didn't blow them out. It was a last-second Robbie Gould field goal for the 49ers, and then they won five in a row. The Tennessee Titans were next. It was the Bears. It was the Titans. No, was it the Texans second? I think it was the Bears, the Texans, then the Titans back at home. Then the Jacksonville, that was the Christmas Eve game, right? And then the Rams, actually. It was that was the Jimmy G five-game win streak. Guess who the 49ers get to see this week? Jimmy Garoppolo. He's on the Rams now. He's the Rams' backup quarterback. So anyway, the Purdy article is up on the screen. I talk about how the 49ers can still win the NFC West. I talk about Brock Purdy's absolutely elite game. We got some more stats from yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers data account does an excellent, excellent job with the breakdowns after this game of how the 49ers performed analytically. And we've got a couple graphics from them that I can't wait to share right now. First off, this is the 49ers receiving weapons from the game yesterday. Take a look at this. This was absolutely astounding. George Kittle, as we know, his mom predicted the 150 receiving yards. He had 151. George Kittle, every single time that he was targeted in this game, 2.23 expected points added. Every single time he was targeted, six targets for 151 yards. There was zero inefficiency when Purdy was throwing to Kittle. So that's over 2 points of expected value every single time you're going George Kittle's way. That's a good thing. Those two screen passes early on really set the table for the 49ers. The number for Jennings was great. Eight targets, seven receptions, 0.99. So that's an expected point every single time that the ball is heading Juwan Jennings' way. Isaac Garendo, 2.47 is off the charts, although that was over only two targets. But those were two big targets. How about that, Isaac Garendo? First, you had the check down, right, that he took for a big gain. And then you had the over-the-top play where Brock Purdy actually changed the play at the line of scrimmage. That was another narrative created by casuals that the quarterback can't change the play at the line of scrimmage. Well, guess what? He can. Purdy was under center. Grendel was behind him in the backfield. The 49ers had a run play called, and Brock Purdy shifted out of the run play, moved to shotgun, and he saw the linebacker matchup that he wanted. It was Jack Sanborn was the linebacker for the Bears, who he recognized was going to be in man coverage if he changed that to a pass play. So he changed this to a pass play. Isaac Grendel, with his 4.3 speed, rockets out of the backfield, runs right by Sanborn, and Purdy, as he gets drilled, because Spencer Burford, backup left guard, was in at that point. It was after Ben Bartsch got hurt. Purdy, as he gets drilled, lays up a beautiful pass over the defense, hangs up there. Isaac Grendel runs underneath it, and Grendel had to deal with the sun. So the degree of difficulty on both ends here was not easy. Grendel dealing with the sun shields his eyes somehow. I mean, he was able to squint through it, and he makes the catch for what was nearly a touchdown. So his receiving efficiency, his EPA, Grendel's would be even higher than the 2.47 had he been able to tumble into the end zone before he was touched down, I think, by Sanborn on the play. But still, two fantastic plays out of the backfield for Isaac Grendel. Deebo Samuel has not been efficient this year as a receiver, and that continued in this game. His best position so far has been kick returner. Now, him and Pearsall yesterday were the two least efficient targets, although Pearsall only got two and Samuel only got three. I will say the play to Pearsall that stands out to everybody was the one on the 49ers drive that went nowhere at the start of the second half. Brock Purdy actually blamed himself for that one. He said Pearsall was open, and he said there was a miscommunication between him and Ricky on that play, where Ricky decided to sit down on the route. He said he thought he found an open pocket there beyond the defensive back, whereas Purdy just threw Pearsall open further downfield, and that would have been a play that might have hit Pearsall in stride. But Purdy said that Pearsall's coached to actually, if that lower spot is open, he's coached to find it because it's technically easier, or at least theoretically easier, for Brock Purdy to find an open window with a throw in that spot. So that's where Pearsall sat down. Purdy, though, went for the longer throw, and because he went for the longer throw, it was incomplete because Pearsall did the opposite. So Purdy said, that was my fault. Pearsall did the correct thing. We talked about it after. We will communicate better about that, obviously non-verbally. That's something that you've just got to do subconsciously during the course of the play. Purdy said that communication is going to be better. Although I just think it's notable that Brock Purdy was willing to shoulder that blame in his press conference. I think that is leadership. Ricky Pearsall obviously going through a drier spell right now after the big game at Tampa Bay last month. Only one catch over the four games since then. But he's a rookie who's obviously been through tremendous off-field adversity this season. It's really tough to be a rookie in Kyle Shanahan's system. I think Ricky is doing just fine for the 49ers, and I think that he will turn that corner. He's got the ability. George Kittle was saying he had a couple really big days at practice over this past week. So I would not prematurely judge Ricky Pearsall at all. Eric Saubert had one catch for 4 yards. So that led to a really, really good EPA score per target. That was on the play that Brock Purdy got his neck bent backwards. Kyle Juszczyk, a couple targets, including a deep one where there was good coverage. I believe it was it Kevin Byard, the safety? It might have been Kevin Byard, the safety, on the coverage. Close to pass interference. They obviously didn't call it. But what really matters in this chart right here is the efficiency at the very top. Kittle, Jennings, Grendel. When you have three receivers generating that type of production every single time they're targeted, well, it's a nod to the quarterback, who was awesome yesterday, and it's a nod to the receivers. Grendel seems like a natural coming out of the backfield. I would say that you'd rather have Isaac Grendel running a pass pattern out of the backfield than blocking. He got trucked when he was trying to pick somebody up in pass protection yesterday, but he was very good the two times that he went out of the backfield, including the check down and then the over-the-top play. Really neat that the 49ers were able to get both types of production out of Isaac Grendel the past game yesterday, a check down yak kind of play and then an over-the-top play where he beat the linebacker. And Brock Purdy checked into it, which goes to show you that the 49ers offense has got that adaptability at the line of scrimmage. I'm sure we have more good stuff from SF Data Niners. I think he had a Brock Purdy infographic, which we'll go to right now. No lingering issues for Brock Purdy. The Bears defense, though, has some lingering issues after facing Brock Purdy. This was his efficiency to different parts of the football field. How about this? I mean, green is obviously good, and red is going to mean below average. He just wore out the middle of the field, wore out the left side. Remember when Brock Purdy had a weakness in 2022, at least efficiency-wise, throwing left? Especially after rolling to the left? Well, that's no longer there. Everything across the field except for deep middle, which is where the Pearsall miss happened, the Pearsall miscommunication happened, and short left, which is, I think, the only pass they caught short left was the one that got tipped and Juwan Jennings was able to bring it down for 3 yards. Either way, Purdy was at 0.76 expected points added per drop back. 325 yards on 0.76, that is absurd. I mean, he added 23 expected points above what? 23 expected points, that's over expectation. So this was just a fantastic performance from Brock Purdy, one of the best in the NFL all season. 13 yards per attempt was the highest in the NFL all year. We'll see what Joe Burrow can do against the Dallas defense now on Monday Night Football. So no lingering issues for Purdy. Guerrero, the foot sprain. We're going to see the Barch Aaron Banks swap. I'm going to give you guys the roster now so we can take a look at where the 49ers stand after this game. With Barch almost certainly going to injured reserve, Banks off of concussion protocol, we can take away the injury shading for Aaron Banks, but we're going to have to delete Barch off the 53, sadly. Ben Barch, good viewer of the YouTube channel, by the way. Shout out to Ben Barch. We are going to now put him on injured reserve. High ankle sprain means that if the 49ers make the playoffs, he might be back. Now, for Barch, that's just really, really tough. Bad break for Aaron Barch. This is a guy who dislocated his knee with Jacksonville in 2022, re-strengthened over 2023, poached off Jacksonville's practice squad by the 49ers last season, and was back at full strength entering 2024. Saw his opportunity with the Aaron Banks concussion, was really damn good against Buffalo. All the film nuts on 49ers Twitter, they do a great job. Johnny Dell does an awesome job. Brad Graham does an awesome job with the offensive line film specifically. I mean, he former lineman, right? So he does really well. Those guys were all enamored by Ben Barch's performance against Buffalo. And then, I mean, he was part of the convoy that was leading the way for George Kittle on that 33-yard screen downfield. It was the entire left side of the line. All those guys were out there getting after it. Left side of the line, Jalen Moore, Ben Barch, and Jake Brendel. But then he suffered the high ankle sprain shortly thereafter. So just a really tough break for somebody trying to find his footing in the league. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen this regular season because Barch is probably going to be headed to injured reserve, which will mean at least 4 games out. But Aaron Banks is back, and he also is a pending free agent for the 49ers. So he's going to take over the left side of that line. Dominic Pooney was awesome yesterday. He's the highest graded guard out of any guard in the NFL this weekend, the 49ers rookie on the right side. The offensive line came and just dominated the Chicago Bears yesterday, mangled them in pass protection. Defensive side of the ball, if you want to look, we got to shade Isaac Guerrero at the top for an injury. That's the foot sprain. So Purdy's good. Isaac Guerrero has the foot sprain. If the 49ers don't have Guerrero against the Rams, it's Patrick Taylor, Keyshawn Vaughn, and, you know, Vaughn would probably get called up from the practice squad again to be the running back too. Yesterday, the new pickup, Israel Abanaconda from the New York Jets, was not active because he's still learning the playbook. He's putting in extra time with Bobby Turner, the running backs coach. But you would hope that if Guerrero's unable to go due to the foot sprain, that Abanaconda will be available to be active at least as the third running back for the 49ers. Elsewhere on the line, Trent Williams, that's going to be the same thing as it was last week and the week before, testing that ankle hopefully improving for the 49ers. He is aiming to come back at some point this week, but nobody's sure exactly when. That's why Sebastian Gutierrez got the recent call up to the 53-man roster from the practice squad. On defense, well, we can take Jordan Elliott off the injury shading. Jordan Elliott was back yesterday, but Nick Bosa is one of the injured 49ers, and they're hoping to get him back as soon as possible. We talked about that. This could be really, really important for them as they play the Rams. Moving to linebacker, the reason I have Fred Warner shaded is because he's dealing with that broken ankle, and he will be until he gets some rest. But he's a tough guy, and for now, Fred Warner is staying out there for San Francisco. D. Winters, we can add him to the 49ers injury report here. He's day-to-day with the ankle, so we'll shade D. Winters there in pink. I'm going to talk a little bit more about D. Winters, Fred Warner, Devondre Campbell, and Dre Greenlaw in a little bit. The linebacker room, I mean, there are injuries here. Flanagan Foles right now is trying to come back with a knee issue. He's day-to-day with the knee issue. But despite the fact that there are injuries here, the 49ers, I think, are in really good shape. Their three highest-graded defenders were linebackers. More on that in a little bit. Diamador Lenore, that was a good performance yesterday. We can take the injury shading off. We'll add it to Malik Mustafa, though, who's dealing with the shoulder and the chest issue. Doesn't sound serious. So there's your roster. I have already moved Barch to IR, which means 52 spots on the 53. That means the 49ers might make a move before Thursday, either a practice squad promotion or a signing, so they have a full 53-man roster entering this game against the Rams. So let's open it up to a 49ers Q&A. Boom. There we go. See what Mike has to say. Go to the WhatsApp. We're going to get our ad read in. It's all going to be good. In fact, we're going to do that now as I'm waiting for your good questions. This show is brought to you by Public Rec. If you're tired of squeezing into stiff dress pants at that holiday party, we've got a holiday party coming up for my company, San Francisco Standard. By the way, you should absolutely check out the article, sign up for that membership. But anyway, this is a double promotion at the same time. If you're tired of squeezing into stiff dress pants at that holiday party, well, check out the Game Changers from Public Rec. Maybe I wear them to my own holiday party coming up this week. The Game Changers will keep you looking sharp and feeling great. Stop suffering in regular pants and give the gift of comfort this holiday season. For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off when you use the code Lombardi at checkout. That's 20% off with the code Lombardi at publicrec.com. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give yourself or someone you love the gift of comfort this holiday. And while you're at it, go ahead and, you know, you could buy a San Francisco Standard membership for someone for Christmas. Why not? There you go. How Brock Purdy's big speech and elite play fueled a massive 49ers win. Link is in the description. Sign up for the membership through that article. It is the best way to follow the 49ers. I mean, we even have the talk with George Kittle's mom before the game. And Jan said he was going to go for 150. He went for 151. As George told me in the locker room, mom knows best. But there's the piece. Link is there for all of you in the YouTube description. If you're watching on Twitter, go ahead and check it out on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, well, you can go back around and watch on YouTube and check out the link there. But the work is everywhere if you want to check it out. All right, 49ers Q&A. They are 2.5-point favorites now against the Rams coming up on Thursday. Great prediction by Kittle's mom. Yeah, she was a yard off, but I think that in rounding error, right? It's impressive. You can predict one, if you predict 150 and he's at 151, then you get the credit there. Do I think that the Rams having to play a harder game than the 49ers this weekend, do I think that that gives the 49ers an advantage? I mean, maybe. It's not like the 49ers were yanking their starters at halftime, though. They both had to play a physical NFL game. Maybe a little bit more taxing on the Rams end, yes. But It's still a Sunday to Thursday turnaround. The thing is, like, overall health matters a little bit more in these situations. And the Rams are at the healthiest they've been this season. They weren't healthy when the 49ers played them in week three, and the 49ers let them get away with it. So the Rams have, I think, health on their side this time. The 49ers have home field on their side. And the 49ers still have a better overall roster, right? So I think that's why they're favored by 2.5. The home field and the roster really helps the 49ers, but it's going to be a dogfight. It really will on Thursday night. Here, though, is some of the good news for the 49ers. So this is a huge 49ers development, and this is a perfect spot to talk about it. Mount Davidson, highest point of San Francisco, the cross behind me, that's where Clint Eastwood fought the villain in Dirty Harry. Great San Francisco movie, by the way. You should check it out. They later go on to Kezar Stadium, which is where the 49ers used to play. But we're talking about the 49ers of now because there was a game yesterday and there's one on Thursday. And the great development for the 49ers is the linebacker position. The three highest graded defenders for San Francisco, Jalen Graham, Devondre Campbell, and Dee Winters. Dre Greenlaw is returning to the linebacker position on Thursday. So the 49ers, they're in excellent shape. Now, they're not in perfect shape at the linebacker position because Fred Warner is playing on a broken ankle. In fact, this was a great defensive performance against the Bears. The 49ers had only 4 missed tackles, which is the fewest all season. 2 of them came from Fred Warner, but he's playing on a broken ankle. So you've got to give Warner credit just for being out there. And also, he's directing traffic. So even if he's not physically at his best, I think cerebrally, Fred Warner is improving the 49ers defense, kind of like Talanoa Hufanga helped from the safety position yesterday with all the communication. But anyway, think about Rams 49ers over the years. The advantage, the reason the 49ers have won most of these matchups has usually come down to the linebacker position. Sean McVay runs a similar offense to the 49ers in that he's got multi-positional versatility. Guys can come out of the backfield, catch the football. Receivers can line up inside and out. Cooper Kupp, obviously, was a record breaker in 2021 with his versatility at the slot and outside. The way to combat the modern offense is through modern defense. And modern defense has to have that linebacker level be adaptable enough to cover the adaptable offenses. The 49ers had a huge, huge issue earlier this season when Fred Warner was their only truly plus linebacker. Devondre Campbell was struggling. Dee Winters wasn't worked in yet. I think Campbell has played his way into the role for the 49ers at this point. He had an 80 grade. He's had a couple games now over 75. In the PFF scale, that's really, really solid. And I think on tape, it showed yesterday. Winters, Dee Winters, the second-year man out of TCU, that has been a true success story for the 49ers. It's to the point where Campbell has now been a nice Band-Aid while Greenlaw's been out, and Winters has shown plus capabilities while at the third linebacker spot, while he has to occupy that third linebacker spot. When Greenlaw returns on Thursday, the 49ers can now bide their time. They don't have to necessarily thrust him right into number two. They can see how it goes because you can trust Winters to be a decent three, and you can still trust Campbell to be the number two. It's going to be very interesting to see once Greenlaw's back up to full speed, if and when that happens, fingers crossed for that this season, how the 49ers run number three. Has Winters earned their trust in number three to supersede Campbell, or is Devondre Campbell going to be the three? These are all really, really good problems for the 49ers to have, just like the good view right behind me. This is, by the way, we're higher than Twin Peaks right now, so you can see Twin Peaks to my right. That's the Mount Sutro Tower. My goal one of these days is to take the elevator up to the very top of that. I think that's one of those things you have to know people to do, but you could take a look at downtown San Francisco. And then if you kind of pan over this way, that is where Candlestick Park used to be, right by that hill. Jerry Rice was rumored to run up that hill very frequently. I don't know if that was the actual hill that he ran up, but people thought that it was the one by Candlestick. I think that he lived somewhere in the South Bay, though, so it might have been elsewhere. Anyway, that's the look around here. It's such a spectacular day. We have reached a higher elevation than Twin Peaks. The 49ers need to reach a higher elevation than the Seattle Seahawks. How do they do it? Well, I think the defense has to take steps in the same direction that it did yesterday against the Bears.
The 49ers defense was maybe the worst unit, probably the second worst unit over the course of the 2 weeks preceding yesterday's game. All of a sudden, things seemed to change. What happened? Well, they got instant help from their offense. It's complimentary football. The fact that Purdy led the offense 5 plays, 70 yards for a touchdown to give them a lead right away gave the 49ers a really nice platform from which to execute at the start of that game. But two, I think that Hufanga's insertion into the lineup was huge for the 49ers run defense. This is an all-pro. This is somebody who communicates. You know, Malik Mustafa talked about the communication and the fact that he's making sure everybody's in the right spot. I think that with Jair Brown, there were some struggles with angles and maybe some slower communication because it's a second-year guy versus an all-pro in Hufanga. I think that it was very, very clear that the 49ers defense started playing with its hair on fire yesterday against the Chicago Bears. And that kind of stuff is contagious. Kyle Shanahan said that, you know, winning is obviously contagious, execution is contagious, but he emphasized that psychology is contagious as well. And it seemed that that really took hold for the 49ers defense. Now, here's a big proposition. We're going to find out a little bit more this afternoon from Kyle Shanahan. But what if Nick Bosa is able to return for the 49ers on Thursday against the Rams? Because you're going to get Greenlaw back. You have Hufanga back. Bosa, we could talk about Trent Williams later. What if Nick Bosa returns? The one major weakness I saw from the defense yesterday was at the edge rusher position, where the 49ers just weren't getting quick pressure on Caleb Williams. Thankfully, they're playing Caleb Williams, who sacks himself by holding the ball on, by holding onto the ball for too long. But I think that facing a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, who knows how to get rid of the football, they could really use Bosa on Thursday. Still, the 49ers are 2.5-point favorites. And if they want to reach a higher elevation than the Seattle Seahawks, if they want to be the Mount Davidson of the NFC West, they're going to have to maybe win out. And I know it's going to be hard because Detroit's still on that schedule, but it's a one game at a time thing for the 49ers, who yesterday showed that they could still flex their muscles. Meanwhile, Seattle has got a couple tough games coming up right now. They've got the Packers, who have extra rest because they played on Thursday night, heading to Seattle, and then the Vikings heading to Seattle. The Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions are a combined 28-3 when they're playing teams not named the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions. So the NFC North has absolutely dominated everybody else except for the Bears, because they're the Bears. But the Bears are still okay. They got the number 5 pass defense. Brock Purdy just lit them up yesterday. The point is that the Seahawks may be underdogs in games at home against the Packers and the Vikings. And if they lose both of those games, well, then the 49ers, all they have to do is beat the Rams. They're favored for that. And beat the Dolphins. They may be favored for that on the road. And all of a sudden, you've got a tie division with just 2 games to play. So this is about to get really, really interesting. And Thursday night's at the center of it. So the 49ers and the Rams, I think that the steps that San Francisco took forward defensively were huge. And you can combine that with a really, really fascinating outlook at linebacker since Dre Greenlaw is projected to come back on Thursday. That's been the advantage the 49ers have had in the past against the Rams, and they're set to have that advantage again against LA on Thursday. So buckle up. It's going to be a crazy week here. So long from Mount Davidson.
All right, look at that view. Then you literally walk down the face of it. If there were ever snow there, and there's probably been snow there a handful of times in San Francisco history, but never enough. Could be a nice little ski slope. Cool. All right, 49ers Q&A time. Time to resume the Q&A. That was fun. Got that in this morning before Kyle Shanahan's press conference, which gave us the update that began this video. But I have time for a few questions here on the channel, so let's go. Eric Gomes is fired up about everything. Crisp, clear day, all caps. Great. Eric Gomes knows a lot about San Francisco. I got to give him some credit. He always, like, if I'm at some obscure place, Eric Gomes knows. Like, if I'm at I'm not going to say Submarine Center is obscure. Submarine Center in West Portal is awesome. The Atomic sub at Submarine Center. I'll mention West Portal and I'll mention Submarine Center. And then Eric Gomes, in all caps, has his order in the comment section on the screen. So This guy knows exactly what he's talking about, and he seems to know every single one of San Francisco's neighborhoods. So credit to him. Look, even when he puts laugh out loud, it's in all caps. It's great. Or ha, all caps, every single time. Will Jordan Mason return is a question. He's on injured reserve, so he's got to be out for at least four games. Quickest, soonest return for Jordan Mason will be the finale at Arizona, January 7th, right? 6th or 7th, I think. I don't know if they are certain on the date yet. That could be a Saturday game. It could be a Sunday game, depending on what the NFL decides heading into that last week. Invader 49er says, watch the fake punt, because the Rams got the Niners with a fake punt last time. That was huge in that game. The Rams pulled out all the stops because the 49ers had a massive advantage against them, especially up front. The Rams had a lot of injuries to their offensive line, and they were able to overcome them through plays like that fake punt. The 49ers definitely need to watch it. Roy says that Campbell did his part well. Yeah, I was talking about that in the video from Mount Davidson. Devondre Campbell has quietly put together a good month or so of football here. And yeah, he's not in his prime anymore, but he's doing what he needs to do. And I don't think that he's been the main issue. I think the biggest issue for the 49ers defense was coming from tackling in the secondary. And Jair Brown had some rough angles in run defense against Green Bay and missed tackles. Unfortunately, Fred Warner is missing more tackles than usual because he's playing on a broken foot. And their defensive line without Nick Bosa just doesn't have the talent level that you would like when you're trying to execute the wide nine. But it hadn't been Devondre Campbell. He's an easy guy to point a finger at because he's the newer player on this defense, newer signing. But I think he's actually been solid for the 49ers and definitely was solid in this game against the Bears yesterday. Has the wide nine become a liability against the run? The wide nine's always been a little bit of a liability against the run. But you gamble a little bit. You stretch out those defensive linemen. It's the wide nine, after all. It is what the name suggests it is. So you get better angles rushing the quarterback. Then you have a bigger gap in between each lineman. So it's really important that the linemen and the defensive tackles are extremely athletic and strong. They got to be space eaters so that those gaps don't kill you. And then your linebackers have to be really strong behind them to be able to plug bigger holes. Now, that makes it a very personnel-dependent defense. You've got to have the horses to run the wide nine. If your defensive linemen aren't really good space-eating defensive linemen, if your linebackers aren't extremely athletic to be able to clog those holes, the wide nine is going to look brutal against the run, which it did against Green Bay and against Buffalo. And it's not just the linebackers. It's Jair Brown, the safety who's coming down and having to deliver. Green Bay ran a couple delays early in that game, right? It was a delayed handoff. Josh Jacobs, you take advantage of the big gap in the middle of the field. The couple delays that Green Bay ran put a lot of pressure on Jair Brown. And Jair Brown missed the tackle on that first one. So it's a personnel-dependent defense. The 49ers have struggled. That's where the liability is. 49ers do have good personnel, though. Tonga Hufanga is an all-pro. He was back yesterday. Dre Greenlaw, high-level player. He should be back on Thursday. You hope that Nick Bosa is back as soon as possible. All of a sudden, that scheme starts firing again. The problem is you can't just toggle between wide nine and on-wide nine in the midst of the season. I mean, there are so many different nuances to the alignment that happen that affect the whole defense. That's something that you would have to reconstruct over the offseason. 49ers are with the wide nine right now, and they just have to hope to get as healthy as possible. Appreciate you. Thank you. Comment on X. Roy says the 49ers are due for some good luck now. They got a little bit of it yesterday when that ball bounced off of the – I forgot who it was. Was it a linebacker or a safety on the play? Purdy rolled to his left, threw a pass under duress. Ball gets tipped, bounces up in the air. Instead of an interception, it turned into a catch for Juwan Jennings. Now, you got to give Juwan credit for the really good play, but, I mean, still, it was a little lucky for the 49ers. Thing is, they've gotten unlucky in similar situations this season, so maybe the fortune will start to favor them. Met Albert at the tailgate yesterday. Thanks for saying hi, Albert. Nice meeting you as well. Albert is from Fresno, and he has gone viral in the past. He's the guy that has the big recliner chair that moves throughout the parking lot. I think he said he went viral in 2019 with it. Thing has a stereo and everything. So it was really nice meeting them. We have a question from Mufasa. Should I hit the gym? Yes, you should absolutely hit the gym. Going in for a workout will never be a mistake unless you injure yourself. So don't do that. But yeah, go into the gym 100%. I do think that that is a good question, and it's one that I'm happy to answer for. Visalia's in the house. When am I coming through, Visalia? Hopefully soon, probably sometime in January. Although, if you're a 49ers fan, you'll probably have to hope that that date is later, because the sooner I'm in Visalia means that the 49ers season probably ending on the sooner end, and they're still trying to make the playoffs. All right, that's your 49ers update. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Really quick run-through of what we have today. No lingering issues for Brock Purdy. Isaac Grendel foot sprain, we'll see about Thursday. Aaron Banks cleared from concussion protocol. Ben Bartsch is headed to IR with a high ankle sprain. Winters and Mustafa are day-to-day. Nick Bosa and Trent Williams will both be evaluated on a day-to-day basis as well, alongside Demetrius Flanagan Foles. Check out the San Francisco Standard. There's my article. Click on the link. It's in the description of the YouTube. Go and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done so yet. And you can obviously also sign up for a membership. San Francisco Standard memberships are where it's at. We just launched them, and now is the time to do it with the 49ers turning up the jets here in December. Talk to everybody very, very soon.